Welcome to the Mesa Chamber of Commerce Inside Business Podcast. My name is Sally Harrison, and I'm the CEO of the Mesa Chamber of Commerce. We're in the University of Phoenix podcast studio, and joining me today is our guest, Dr. Steve Ferrara.
Hey, good morning, Sally.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. We're excited to talk to you about your campaign.
I'm excited to tell you all about it. There's a lot of good stuff to talk about. A lot of issues out there.
There are a lot of issues, and it's been kind of a crazy season, so I'm sure there's a lot more on your plate now than you thought there would be.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Almost 18 months ago when I got into this, who would have known?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, May 12th, 2017.
Wow. So you're running for?
United States Congress, Congressional District 9. Mm-hmm. So parts of Mesa, West Chandler, Ahwatukee, all of Tempe, South Scottsdale,
you have a big district.
And Phoenix, all the way up to I-17 and Dunlap.
Very large district.
Yes,
it
is.
Do you know about how many residents are in that
district?
There's
probably a little over 700,000, 750,000 or so. Yeah.
That's a large district to take care of. So we're going to talk about some different issues, but let's talk about one of your hot topics. Something that's near and dear to your heart, healthcare.
You bet. Well, I think healthcare is our most important domestic issue. As you know, I'm a doctor, and I'm also a big policy wonk. I worked on Capitol Hill for a year as a National Academy of Medicine Health Policy Fellow, where I was able to do great legislation, bipartisan legislation that solved a huge Medicare problem, a $200 billion item of legislation that got signed into law. So that's something I'm really proud of. Mm-hmm. And then I was also the Navy's chief medical officer. I'm a lifelong Navy officer.
So you're a vet.
I am. 25 years in the Navy. Best job I'll ever have.
Thank you for your service.
Oh, it was a pleasure. I miss it every day. Got to serve in Afghanistan. I deployed 3 times with the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps. So it was really something very, very dear to me. And, and again, another issue that's close to my heart.
When we talked the other day, you had a lot of statistics that you were sharing about different items regarding healthcare that, that not everybody understands or knows.
Right, right. Well, part of the reason I think what folks realize, which is their job to realize how much healthcare affects their life, is that because it's almost a fifth of our economy, 18%, so almost $1 in $5 spent in America is on healthcare. Over about $3.5 trillion. It's over $10,000 for every man, woman, and child every year is attributed to healthcare. So it's something we really need to get right. And I know your listeners are aware of it because they're feeling it in their pocketbooks, both the patients and the business owners, whether you're an employer. And I always say everyone's a patient, right? If you were born in a hospital, you've been a patient, and you're going to go in and out of that healthcare system throughout the course of your life. So we're all stakeholders, so we got to get it right.
Well, and that's appreciated because I know just from our chamber, you know, we provide healthcare for our staff members. That's a big ticket, right? And it gets bigger every year. Our increases go up. Of course, we want to continue to retain our staff. And I know a lot of our businesses face that every year. So talk about what we talked about the other day with all the waste in healthcare.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, my parent or the National Academy of Sciences that sponsored my congressional fellowship, they did a study, and this is in 2012. They came out and said $750 billion
That's such a huge number.
It's bigger than the defense budget.
Which is really sickening if you think about
it. Yeah, is waste.
Yeah.
And at that time, healthcare spend was about $3 trillion, so it's about $1 in $4. And people think that's too much until if you talk to people in healthcare and then you remind them that it's $1 in $4, they go, oh, I think it's probably more. And I think, again, patients that, you know, are when they interface with the healthcare system, they probably see that too when they see, you know, studies repeated, if they have to go from one hospital to another for a high level of care, or they go from their primary care doctor to the specialist and they see things repeated. They wonder, like, didn't I already do this? Why do I? And all that, you know, we can make that more efficient. No regular business owner, and I know there's a lot of folks out there on this podcast listening that you couldn't run your business that way.
Right.
It would be ridiculous. You'd be out of business in a year.
Yep.
And so it's not right, and it's just, you know, we have a better way to make health, we have to make healthcare better, because you alluded to how much it's costing for employers. I think it was yesterday or the day before in the Wall Street Journal, they posted the newest thing. It's about $20,000 a year for what an employer pays for their health benefit is the average. So that is being added on to what employers are having to pay for their employees. And, you know, you look can look at it a couple ways. And I think we talked about this, that there's three ways to compensate people. There's wages, benefits, and time off.
Right.
And if your employer, whether you're the employee or the employer, if $20,000 a year is going towards that healthcare benefit, those aren't wages you have.
Right.
You know, that could have been given as wages, which I think for most families, they'd like to have the money because you can't eat those benefits. You can't send your kids to camp on those benefits. You
don't
can't put gas in your car. Exactly.
Right.
The things people need to do.
Sure.
And, you know, goodness knows we want people to be healthy. And so most of the time you may not need that health benefit, but you're in a way you're not getting the money either.
Sure.
And so we, you know, have an obligation to do better. And I have a great plan to do that. That's one of the things that, you know, I know we got to talk about is we need, you know, again, I'm coming at it from an approach of, you know, I'm still a practicing physician, even while I've been running this. And so we have to have a patient. And I think I would say that whether it was the Democrats plan or the Republican plan, neither plan was patient-centered.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get to where we're putting patients and doctors first, what I like to call a demand-driven change, not a supply-side change. Both reform sides from both parties were more around hospitals, insurers, pharmaceutical companies, all that stuff.
Right.
And what I think, just again, like people know and why we believe in the principles we believe in, is we need to make it a demand-centered, again, like everything else in our economy. And so I talk about having, we need to break healthcare reform out into three really unique segments that again, prior plans have tried to ball up into one. We need to strengthen the Medicaid program. So we need Medicaid reform, but we need to handle that alone. And I think it's best to let the states and you know, make healthcare as local as possible, just like education. And that's a way to make it more efficient and also make it serve the population it's intended to serve much better. Number two, insurance reform. We have an opportunity here to make health insurance just like every other insurance product you have. And again, this is something that, again, I know a lot of your listeners get this in spades, which is if you sell a product that adds value for people, they're going to buy it.
Sure.
And so part of the reason there's a lot of reluctance and a lot of dissatisfaction over health insurance is because people are paying very high amounts of money, huge out-of-pocket costs, deductibles are through the roof. For not a lot of care, and they still don't even have access.
Right.
And one of the big problems with the current system is what people talk about all the time is how many people have an insurance card in their wallet. But really, they're using that as a proxy for care. And the reality is, it's not how many people have insurance, it's how many people have access to care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fundamental but a critical difference.
Right.
And again, I know your listeners know that because probably many of them have insurance, but yet they can't get an appointment when they need it. They can't get that, you know, specialty visit. So, and then the third thing is absolutely protecting folks that have pre-existing conditions. Because again, I work both at the Phoenix VA and at the Maricopa County hospitals. You know, I worked at the VA this week. And we take care of those folks, but we do it in the least efficient way possible. We subject, you know, folks to having to get to like the end of their rope, and then they're in extremis, and then it's a 911 call, it's an ambulance ride, it's an ER visit, it's not efficient. They'd have a worse healthcare outcome, which doesn't benefit the patient. The bill is nobody could pay the bill because it's in excess of $100,000, and so the taxpayer bears the brunt of that. Society does, and so it's a lose lose. So we take care of those folks anyway, but we need to just do it prospectively. So my plan talks about making sure we absolutely protect and take care of our patients with pre-existing conditions, but we do it prospectively. We make sure they get the preventive care they need, that they get the medicines they need so they can remain healthier.
Well, those are definitely key items for the healthcare part of your campaign. But let's talk a little bit about education and how you differ on education from your opponent.
Well, I'd say the biggest difference is, you know, my opponent in his record in City Hall as the mayor was really just a litany of sweetheart deals that he did for his friends and wealthy developers, most of them out of state, and they would just get tax abatements that would come, so they're paying no property tax, you know, they can buy the land at a very devalued price, and that just takes money right out of our public schools. So here we are, and I know that's one of the hottest issues here in Arizona is funding our schools, and there's people, and I think we can all agree that we want, you know, one of the things, that's our investment in human capital, right?
Absolutely.
Educating our kids and having the, giving our teachers the tools they need, making sure we can compete to have the best teachers possible. And a lot of that is making sure they're paid a fair wage and a good wage to recruit. So my plan makes sure that we always put, again, make sure parents get to are in charge of their kids' education. It's locally driven. But from my seat in Congress, I'll make sure those funds flow to the state with no quid pro quos, no strings attached. Give that money and let parents and local communities educate their kids.
Key. That would be great. Okay, so obviously as the chamber, we're focused on our economy. In Mesa, defense and related jobs are very important to us. How do you plan to support our defense contractors and the work that, that's being done here?
Oh man, I can tell you that is near and dear to me because I was in Afghanistan and I can even tell you that I happened to be in Afghanistan where I was based or our FOB as they're called. Before we had drones, once we had drones, and once we had armed drones. And I can tell you the amount of incoming mortars and so forth you get. So it's very personal to me. We were getting rocketed. So the stuff that is made here, the gear that is made right here in Arizona and in Mesa is saving our soldiers' lives and giving us that, you know, qualitative military edge that we think so much about. And sequestration was a disaster, you know, for the military. I actually think it's immoral and unethical. If we're going to commit people, our troops, sons and daughters, into harm's way, we have to make the commitment to make sure they have the tools they need. And I'm so grateful that right here in the Valley, we have so many great businesses and great companies that help us win those battles. And the great thing, too, is if I'm elected to Congress, it's almost a certainty that I'll, based on my background, I'll be on the House Armed Services Committee.
That would be very important to us.
That is a voice that we is really important for us to have. And so I'm, you know, I'm going to be honored to be there and to be our voice for our the district, our businesses, and also most of all for our men and women in harm's way.
Well, we appreciate your service, but your attention to taking care of that side of business for our community especially. As we wrap up, do you have any other key things that you want to point out? I know you could probably go all day.
You know me well.
any other key things that you want people to know? And why don't you tell us how our listeners can get in touch with you?
Yeah.
Do you have a website? Do you have contact information you want to share?
You bet. Please, you know, I encourage everybody to, you know, I, as a lifelong military guy, I'm a type of guy that I say all the time, I deployed under three presidents, two Democrat, one Republican. This is about service. It's not about taking credit. It's about solving problems, and it's about moving the ball forward. That's what this campaign is inspired by, that and trust and courage, which I think is something that there's a huge appetite for. So I'd encourage people to visit my website, ferraraforcongress.com. Follow me on Twitter, at Steve Ferrara, MD. You go to my Facebook page, learn more about me. Make sure, you know, you kick the tires and know what I'm all about. I think that's, there is a very stark difference between me and my opponent. My opponent wants to raise taxes, wants to increase regulation, you know, wants to have a government takeover of healthcare, kind of that whole agenda. And I think that, you know, our we're having an economic renaissance right now, which is lifting all boats, you know, through the economic spectrum. We need to be able to keep that going. And so I appreciate people taking a look, make an informed choice. I think I'm going to secure that vote if they know what they're buying.
People just need to understand what you stand for.
Absolutely.
So we encourage everybody to go on your website,
yep,
come out and see you at a rally sometime.
Yeah.
That would be great. Well, thanks for being here. We appreciate your time. And we appreciate our listeners. So thanks for joining us today, Steve, on Inside Business Podcast. You can find all of our episodes on the Inside Business Podcast at iTunes, Google Play, or on your own favorite podcast website. You can also find them online at mesachamber.org.